want you to get your Bible and I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Once you find Ephesians 5, I would like for you to stand with me. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, I want you to find verse number 17, and I'm going to read out loud a handful of verses, then we're quickly going to turn back into the book of Proverbs. Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse number 17, the Bible says this, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Now, I'd like you to quickly turn back to Proverbs chapter number 23. Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 29, and again, I'm going to read from, I think maybe we'll read from verse 29 to the end of the chapter, where the Bible says, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed drink. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." And let's pray. Father, help me to help someone tonight. Help me to help the young people in our church to never get involved in the liquor, the alcohol, the booze. For those that are here in our congregation who are dabbling in it, might they get their heart right with you about it. For those that maybe have come out of the alcohol lifestyle, may they be reminded of the salvaging that God has done in their lives. There are people that are not sitting in our congregation tonight that will listen on the internet. I pray they'll be challenged and changed. And God, maybe someday out there we'll hear the testimony of somebody that got their life straightened up because of maybe a truth or a scripture that's shared tonight. Holy Spirit of God, help us to believe you and believe the Bible. Give us a good sermon as tonight that will help us to do right and to think right. Bless us now with thy Spirit's presence, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. They say approximately 88,000 people die each year, and it's attributed to drunkenness. Every day, 30 people die to drunk driving accidents. And understand, folks, that's every 51 minutes, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, 52 weeks a year, 365 days a year, every 51 minutes, somebody dies because of drunk driving. Teen drunkenness kills 4,700 people in our country every year. 37% of the rapes that are reported in America are associated with liquor, booze, or drunkenness. This statistic is shocking. Approximately 7,000 children under the age of 16 take their first drink every day in our country. In other words, under the age of 16, they're testing the waters regarding alcohol. Drunkenness cost the United States about $223 billion a year. And let me explain. They come up with that based on loss of productivity, legal fees, health costs, the cost in regard to our police officers, and everything associated with drunkenness. Get that. $223 billion it costs America. Seemed to me like we could turn our economy around by changing one thing. But because money is more important than doing right, the big liquor people. They surely wouldn't want something outlawed that would help our country. Drunkenness is the major contributor to the spread of sexually transmitted diseases. What a strong and what a powerful thing. I call the sermon Liquor's Deception because the devil's a liar, and liquor lies to us. Now, the sermon is very, very easy to follow. I'm going to give you a verse and make an application on that verse. I have to tell you, when I prepared this, and don't be worried, I have 22 points. I'm not going to give them all to you. I picked out 10 of them. And if you're not good, I'm going to add an 11th. And then if you're worse, I'll add a 12th. So act like you like it and pay real close attention. The sermon will be shorter. But I ended up with 22 points that I wanted to give you tonight. But I whittled it down a little bit. So let me give you some things, though, that I think all of us need to be reminded of in regard to booze, liquor, drunkenness. First of all, my first point is liquor is a liar. It's a liar. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 1, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Notice it says deceived. And that's where we get the title for this evening. Liquor is a liar. Liquor is deceptive. Liquor promises escape from heartache and then causes heartache. Liquor promises escape from depression, then causes depression. You know, when you say, well, if I get drunk, I can escape. Well, I need to explain something to you. You may escape for a moment, but you will wake up the next morning and you'll face what you faced prior to being drunk and probably additional burdens because of the escape route that you took. I don't understand our country. You'll have some professional athlete get up and they want to promote liquor. But can I tell you something? You're not made a better athlete by drinking. You're made a worse athlete by drinking. And that's just another lie, just another deception, if you will. You say, oh, well, you know, I don't know if young people still use the word cool or acceptable or whatever it is. You say it's cool. Well, tell that to the dead people. Tell it to the people that are dead because of the drinking. Tell it to the people that lost a mom or lost a dad because of drunk driving. It's not what the devil makes it out to be. You say it's fun. Well, let me tell you, it may be fun for a moment. It may be fun, but just for a moment. Because it doesn't take long until the fun's over with. You say, we're going to party. Parties end. And so many times they end in tragedy. So point number one, liquor's a liar. Number two, liquor, drunkenness, brings poverty. It produces poverty. Let me read you a verse. Proverbs 20, verse 20 and 20. It's Proverbs 23, verse 20 and 21 says, be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Here, it's associating liquor, it's associating drunkenness with poverty, and then it talks about rags. When it's talking about rags, it's talking about someone that doesn't have the clothing that they need. And so, God said that liquor is going to bring poverty into your life. You know, I'm really saddened. I couldn't tell you how many people that I have counseled through the years that can't pay their bills but can figure out a way to get a fifth or can figure out a way to get a case of a Bud Dumber. They can't pay their bills. They can't pay their bills on time. They can't pay their rent on time. They can't take care of themselves, but they've got money for liquor. Well, that's poverty to me. If for no other reason, it's the waste of the money. If you're in church and you drink but you don't tithe, I've got a problem with that. The thought that you would give money to Anheuser-Busch, the thought that you would give money to buy liquor but you wouldn't give money to your church, you really have something goofed up in your life, don't you? But it talks about poverty. Do you know that secular college students spend about $5.5 billion a year partying on booze? And any of you that have ever been in the dorms or been around secular university, you know They party hardy. Okay. While they're using your tax dollars to go to school. Hey, listen, there are kids out there, and you know, I thank God for our bus ministry. I thank God we go out and we reach boys and girls maybe that could not come to church if we did not go out and reach them. I couldn't tell you how many of them, those boys and girls, don't have the clothes they need, don't have the food that they need, but there's liquor at home in the fridge. Mom and dad can figure out a way to buy their liquor, but they can't figure out a way to put a pair of shoes on their little boy. They can't figure out how to put a good square meal on the table because they wasted their money on liquor. But folks, I could go into a long dissertation about liquor and poverty. I could talk to you about so many things and how it will rob you blind. Number three, the Bible teaches that liquor brings sorrow in life. It brings sorrow. Proverbs 23:29 says, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of the eyes?" And it goes on to say, those that tarry at the bottle, those that get liquored up. Listen, liquor brings sorrow in life. Liquor breaks hearts. Liquor breaks wives' hearts while their husbands go out and get drunk. Huh. Liquor breaks husbands' hearts when wives go out and get drunk. Liquor breaks daddy's hearts when their sons and daughters get drunk. Oh boy. Liquor breaks children's hearts when they watch moms and dads wasting away and ruining their lives and destroying their futures. You know, liquor will tear you up emotionally. It'll tear you apart. It'll tear you to shreds. It brings sorrow. Now, liquor promises joy. But I'm telling you, you only smile for a moment. And then the price that you pay is sorrow. Liquor is a liar. Liquor causes poverty. Liquor causes sorrow in life. Number four, liquor brings contention. Liquor brings contention. Again, Proverbs 23, verse number 29, the Bible says, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions?" Now, the whole context there, it's talking about people that are getting drunk. Now, who hath contentions? You say, what does that mean, contentions? It's talking about fighting. It's talking about tension. It's talking about arguments. The word contentions, actually, as a part of the definition, is coming to blows. You're talking about fights, physical fights. And you're talking about arguments. I'll promise you, so many times liquor has something to do with divorce. Why? People's emotions, they get high strung on the liquor. And then, well, when you don't have joy because of liquor, it's hard to be happily married. When liquor's lying to you, you got something lying and messing up your life and your everyday behavior. That's not real good on your marriage. Liquor brings sorrow. It brings poverty. Hey, liquor brings contention. And I think that liquor is such a contributor to messing up marriages and messing up families. You may be able to go to some church somewhere and see a good old-fashioned fist fight. But that's not usually common.
Yes, sir. Right.
But it's very common to find a fist fight down at the bar.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because the Bible said that's what's going to happen. You say, that's natural. It's not natural. It's what God said would happen. God said liquor brings contentions. It brings fights. It brings arguments. I wonder how many times I've watched husbands and wives fussing about liquor. I wonder how many times I've seen parents mad, upset, throwing a fit with their kids. Because some young person did the wrong thing and they went out and got them some liquor. And parents, I want to tell you, you better keep your eye on it. You say, my child's 15, they're 16, they're 17, they're not old enough to buy it. They don't have to be old enough to buy it. They can find it if they want to find it. There's enough idiots out there that would give alcohol to a minor. And if you have it in your refrigerator, you might want to keep an eye on you being the one providing it. Say, my kids would never. Well, you did. But it causes contention. You know, I've discovered, and not just in my counseling in life, I've discovered in relationships in life, people that are drinkers can be very hard to get along with. very hard to get along with. Why? Their emotions are messed up. They get mean. They can get wild. And then they don't have any sense when they're mean. But liquor brings contention. So liquor lies to us. Liquor steals from us. It causes poverty. It brings sorrow. And then it brings contention. And that means tension in our family and tension in our life. Number five, liquor brings worthless and hurtful words. Worthless and hurtful words. Now, you can be a babbler without being drunk. Some of you prove that every week here at the church. But you will be God promises that a drinker is a babbler. It says in Proverbs 23, verse number 29, the opening scripture that we read, it says, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contention? Who hath babblings?" I know that's not a word we use a lot. That's someone that's got diarrhea of the mouth. That's somebody that they just babble. They're always slobbering and saying things they should not say. You know, husbands are hurt by words of wives when they're drunk, and wives are hurt by the words of husbands when they're drunk. And with people, when they get drunk, they take the brake off their tongue and they just talk and talk and talk. It loosens the tongue. Drunk parents then belittle their children. Again, as a counselor and being in the church for years and years, drunk dads will call their kids stupid and worthless and just degrade their children. And I know there are some of you, you'll degrade your kids and you don't have to be drunk. But I'm telling you, it is the behavior of a drunk. It's that demeaning, and the Bible calls it babblings. Just rambling on, and by the way, then the one that's drunk will, using these worthless babblings of words, they'll make promises that are not reachable. They'll make promises that will cost them more than what they can pay, and they just waste words. Booze loosens a tongue so you can choke others with your tongue. So the Bible says it calls the question is asked, who hath babblings? And that's someone that is drunk and somebody that's using liquor in their life. So liquor lies to us. Liquor brings poverty. Liquor brings sorrow. Liquor brings contention. Liquor causes us to use words that are worthless and harmful. Then, number six, the Bible teaches that liquor brings injury. It brings injury. Again, from Proverbs 23, now verse 29, the same verse that we used in the opening, it said, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause?" I wonder how many people are crippled out there due to drunkenness. You know, when you talk about the number of deaths, when they say there's 88,000 deaths in America attributed to drunkenness, that's not talking about all the people that lived through the alcoholic mess. There are all sorts of people out there that are maimed and blind and deaf and quadriplegic and on crutches and on walkers and everything else. They lived through the alcoholic mess that they wound up in, but they were injured. And you know, the only injuries in life are not just physical. Wonder how many people are bruised, broken, beat up, and emotionally quadriplegic. April the 14th, 1865, the man that shot Abraham Lincoln, if you studied history, they said he'd been drinking. What a sad thing. You know, the single largest cause of autism, from all indications, is called fetal alcohol syndrome. And that is where a mom drinks while she is pregnant, and she hurts her child's body within her. Let me say to everybody in here, ladies, if you're going to get pregnant, you keep yourself clean while you carry a baby. That baby deserves better. You say, "Well, I can't do it." Then don't get pregnant. Spare a child of that type of a life. You know, in 1982 through 1995, there were almost 301,000 lives lost in America due to traffic accidents because of liquor. But that's damage. That's injury. You know that 33% of those who attempt or those that commit suicide, it's alcohol related. Liquor brings injury. And I don't have time to go into it. It's one of my other points that I'm sparing you of this evening. But boy, people get hurt when they're drunk and they don't even know they're hurt. The liquor numbs the senses, just like it numbs the brain, just like it numbs your common sense. And then the injury gets worse and worse and worse as you go along. But it's very, very clear. Liquor brings injury. It brings physical injury. It brings emotional injury. It brings injury so often to the person that's drunk. But the sad thing is there are innocent people that are hurt because of liquor. I won't do this because I don't want to be harsh on somebody's emotions in here, but I'll guarantee you, if I ask right now how many of you have had a loved one that has died in a drunk driving accident, there'd be a lot of hands that would be raised right in here, and their hearts go back, and they're reminded, and they think of it. It brings injury. And so, liquor's dangerous. Let me go on. Number seven, the Bible talks about liquor and how it irritates the eyes. Let me read it to you. The same verse that we've been working out of, Proverbs 23:29, it says, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes?" Well, I wonder why God threw that in there. Well, when somebody's liquored up, they get bloodshot eyes. I wonder if part of it is maybe God wants you to look in the mirror, and he wants it to be made clear that you can see on the outside what's happening on the inside of you. But I'll promise you this, if nothing else, liquor affects the eyes because it'll keep you from seeing things correctly. You talking about, am I going to see things wobbling out there in front of me? Yes, you will, but I'm talking about your mental perception. Liquor makes you stupid. You know, they call it Budweiser. It's Bud Dumber. It'll make you stupid. It'll make you think they say, well, you know, when I'm liquored up, it makes my senses more keen. No, not at all. Not at all. It's a liar. It makes your senses less keen. You're less sharp. But it lies to you. I'm going to promise you, it affects your eyes. It affects the way you see things. It affects the way you see things physically. It affects the way you see things emotionally. Liquor is a liar. It affects your eyes. Then, number eight, liquor, according to the Bible, inflames lust. It inflames lust. Now we're talking about sexual lust. Proverbs 23, verse 33 says, "Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and their heart shall utter perverse things." That's talking about people that are on liquor. Now, it says here, thine eyes shall behold strange women. The Bible's talking about liquor. It stirs physical passion. Folks, you and I, there's a spiritual part of us, and then there is a fleshly part of us. There's our spiritual nature or our carnal nature, and liquor feeds your carnal nature. Liquor takes the brake off the carnal part of you and causes you to move forward with things that you wouldn't normally do morally because you're drunk. Liquor removes your parameters morally. Liquor removes your anchor morally, to where you'll step out and you'll do things that you would have never dreamed of doing. The Bible says, "Thine eyes shall behold strange women." It's talking here about your eyes. I don't know any way to tell you this other than I had a fellow tell me. He said, "Brother Owens, this guy had been drinking for years and years and years." And he said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "A man go out and get drunk, he'll sleep with the ugliest woman in town, and he won't even know what he's doing. And he'll think she's a doll. Wake up the next morning and say, 'Good night. What in the world was I thinking?'" Well, you weren't. Because liquor had blinded your perception, and liquor had inflamed your lust, and you have now beheld, the word behold, that's wow, a strange woman. And so on Saturday night, you go out and become immoral with something, if I might call it that. You go out and get immoral with something, and you wake up Sunday morning and say, what in the world was I thinking? Well, first of all, to ever be immoral, you ought to say to yourself, what in the world was I thinking? But liquor promotes it. Liquor unleashes your lust. Liquor, hey, and some of you, let me tell you, you better be real, real careful, because liquor, once you cut yourself free, it'll run with you. It'll take off, and and that lust will drag you along behind it, and you'll find yourself somewhere you never intended to go, doing things you never intended to do, and paying a price you never thought that you would pay. You will wake up later and say, I cannot believe my own moral or immoral behavior. 60% of college-age women that were diagnosed with sexually transmitted diseases were drunk when they contracted the disease. I wonder how many pregnancies out of wedlock were produced because of drunkenness. I wonder how many illegitimate children are out there as a result of drunkenness. And the Bible says, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. There's even in the Bible, there's a story about a man that got drunk and ended up committing incest as a result of it, and sodomy as a result of it. I'm talking about somebody that wouldn't have participated in it had they not been drunk. But because they were drunk, their moral character had weakened, and their moral integrity had weakened, and they woke up and said, I did what? Liquor will lie to you. Liquor will make you do things that you'll regret for the rest of your life. Liquor's a liar. Liquor is very, very deceptive. It's a liar. It brings poverty. It brings sorrow. It brings contention. It brings stupid words and say stupid things. It brings injury. It affects the eyes and the way we see things. It inflames our lusts. The Bible says that liquor perverts a person. It perverts them. Proverbs 23, verse 33 says, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. Now, if you look up the word perverse, you're going to find within the definition the word perverted. You check the world's perverts. Check the world's perverts and their take on liquor and their involvement with liquor. If I were you, I'd be careful. You're liable to turn out to be a pervert. You say, well, what's the definition of that? You define it any way you want. But I know that liquor causes perverted things to happen. It'll cause you to do things that you would not normally do sober. I was preaching in Pleasantville, Iowa, 20 years ago. I was staying in a hotel. The news came on, and I was watching the news, and they told a story of a local young lady who was a babysitter, and young lady had been watching an infant child, and she got drunk, and along with getting drunk, she'd gotten high on something. She had bathed the baby. She was so drunk that she decided to put the baby in a microwave to dry it. You say, that's ridiculous. That's alcohol. That's when you unleash the stupidity that is a part of the carnal, fleshly nature of man. You know, all those people out there that do stupid things are made of the same stuff that you and I are made of. You better be careful unleashing that part of you. I thank God I'm saved. At least we have a chance to keep that under control. But I'll tell you, saved people drunk can do pretty stupid stuff too. I'll read something that I found. Dr. William Osler, a famous physician and founder of the Johns Hopkins University, the hospital in Baltimore, Maryland, ordered a patient to quit his liquor. The patient said, But doctor, it makes me do things better. And so people tell me this about drugs and everything. It makes me do things better. That's what this guy told the doctor. Nonsense, said Dr. Osler. It only makes you less ashamed of doing them poorly. I thought, that's a brilliant doctor. That's a brilliant doctor. Liquor inflames lust. Liquor perverts us. It affects our sight and the way we see things and brings injury and contention and hurt and we lose our joy. Let me go on. Liquor causes you to put yourself and other people in danger. And that's kind of been laced throughout this lesson, but it's true. Liquor causes you to put yourself and others in danger. Listen to Proverbs 23:34. It says, yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. Now, you know, lying on top of a mast is not a real good place for someone to be. And of course, it's talking about the wave and the motion and the movement. But lying on top of a mast is not a safe thing. Did you all know this? And this is very sad. December 7, 1941, Pearl Harbor was bombed. A day that we'll remember forever. Do you know that that's when World War II came upon us? The alarm sounded when it was being bombed, but I hate to tell you, there were a whole lot of U.S. servicemen that were too drunk to fight. Isn't that a tragedy? Too drunk to fight. I'm going to guess some injury came upon our country because of the drinking. And let me say to everybody in here, if you joined the military, it didn't give you a license to start going against the Bible with alcohol.
Right.
And I'll warn you, you do join the military, you'll be tested to the fullest extreme of your character about liquor while you're in the military. Listen, 85% of death from cirrhosis of the liver are alcohol related. And what happens is the liquor, it pickles you. It just destroys your liver. I am so sad. As a pastor, you see a lot of things in life. All these years, the times I've watched children abused because somebody in the household is drinking liquor. That's devastating. It's devastating. Liquor causes you to put yourself in danger, and then it causes danger for everybody else. I'm going to give you one more point, and then I'll be done. That's half of the points that I prepared for tonight. Liquor ruins your judgment. It ruins your judgment. Proverbs 23:34 says, yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth on the top of a mast. Now, first of all, why would anybody want to lie on top of a mast or lie down in the midst of the sea? That's pretty bad thinking anyway. But liquor will ruin your judgment. Look, if you say, well, I disagree with you, Pastor. Matter of fact, I can preach sermons like this, and there are people that get mad when I say this sort of thing. Obviously, your judgment is already messed up. I'm not saying anything to hurt anybody. I'm just teaching the Bible, and I've given you verse to back everything that I've said. I didn't write this book. I'm just a representative of God. It's my job to get up and tell you what the Bible says. But you say, well, I disagree. Well, then you're disagreeing with God. You got a smaller brain than what you think. Your judgment is definitely off. We're talking about it ruins your judgment while you're driving. It ruins your judgment while you're working. I feel for some of you because I think some of you, you do have to go to work and there are people where you work that drink. And how dangerous. How dangerous for you to be at work where somebody's running heavy equipment and they're drunk, and you're there. I used to, I've been preaching since I was a 16-year-old boy, and I've worked in plenty of shops. I used to work in machine shops. I was petrified when I would go into work and I knew one of the guys I was working with was running a machine and I knew he'd been drinking. And then the guys would go out for a quick one at lunch. And I'm thinking, you and I are going to share a project after lunch and you went out for a quick one. But if you want to put your eye out, go ahead and put your eye out, you idiot. But I don't want to have to work with somebody that's drinking. And listen, liquor ruins your judgment. It ruins your judgment while you're working. It ruins your judgment while you're driving. I'll promise you, it ruins your judgment financially. A guy can get his paycheck on Friday, go down to the bar, tie one on, and he'll be busted flat broke before morning hits. It ruins your relationships. I meet Christians all the time that say, I'd still be married maybe to my first wife or to my first husband had liquor not entered the picture. It ruins your judgment spiritually. It ruins your judgment in regard to relationships. I could take you, I could for the next 2 hours without stop take you from verse to verse and show you practically what God says liquor does. But let me sum it up by telling you, liquor's a liar. It's a liar. It's a deceiver. It's not good. It's bad. Young people, stay away from it. Those of you, and there are people in here, you've been salvaged from that life. Don't go back. Don't go back. Stay away from it. Parents, let me give you a little piece of advice. Your children don't usually do what you say. They do what you do. They do what you do. And again, I could tell you story after story. I was preaching in Mississippi, and a man who had hidden liquor in his in a cabinet in his home got a telephone call one day that his kids, two of them, died in a drunk driving accident, and he was irate. He said, "Who was the idiot that gave my kids the alcohol?" Got home and found out it was his. It was his. Parents, kids may not do what you say, but they're real good at doing what you do. Young people, stay away from it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I've just tried to show you something that the Bible teaches. Now, for some of you, you need to take what I taught on liquor, and you could almost a parallel for the misuse of drugs. Same thing. And there's an epidemic in America with the drugs. We know that. If you're here tonight, you've never been born again, we welcome you to the Savior. Won't you come and get saved? Come get born again. Hey, and if you get saved, God can give you a strength that will help you to conquer that fleshly part of you that can keep you out of a mess like that, the liquor mess. Now, there's some of you, you say, "Oh, preacher, boy, while you were preaching tonight, boy, was I remembering and thinking back. I was thinking of my life and what I seen my parents do and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters and family." And I know it's somewhat devastating to be reminded of it, but let's thank God that we're not living there. Let's do everything we can to keep ourselves away from it and our children away from it. And let's not be afraid in a very liberal society to stand for something and go ahead and call it sin. Because that's what it is. Is there anybody here tonight that would say, "Pastor, I'm not born again. Pray for me. I'm not saved." Would you raise your hand? And I will. I'll pray for you. We'll pray that you get saved. Hey, Christian, maybe some of you have some family, some friends, some acquaintances that got themselves mixed up in the liquor traffic. Maybe you ought to come down and pray for them tonight. Just pray that God will get a hold of their life. If you've dabbled, if you're messing around, maybe you need to come down here and get on your knees and say, "Oh, Lord, help me not to go that direction." Hey, there might be parents that need to come and pray. Pray that your children would not get involved. There might be somebody in this room that came from an alcoholic or an alcoholism past of your own. Maybe God salvaged you. Maybe you need to come down here, get on your knees and say, "Thank you, Jesus, for getting me out of that mess." We'll have an altar call. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to to our feet if we could, every head bowed, every eye closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Maybe you need to come just thank God that that's not where you're at, or thank God that He salvaged you. Hey, and for some of you young people that you say, Pastor, I'd never want to do that. I've been around church all my life. Well, you better thank God that you've been brought up that way, because a lot of people can't say that. They dealt with it at home. They dealt with it in their past. You young people that are being reared in a home where mom and dad are against the alcohol and the drugs and the immorality, you better thank God for that. And to be very honest, folks, you better thank God for a church that'll take a stand against it, because churches out there put their tail between their legs a long time ago, and they're afraid to stand up and call sin, sin. Now they're apologetic about everything. Well, there's a right and a wrong in this life. I only but wish that you had the tolerance for about two more hours and I could continue the Bible study and I could show you over and over and over and over again what God says will happen attached to liquor. He feels so strongly about it, he said, don't even look at it. He said, don't even look at it. He said, you ought not sit at the table where it's being served. Continue, if you will, Sarah, another verse of the song.